Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. A lot of news.
Yeah, I feel like for the first time we have
news heavy.
News has happened in time for us to talk about it on the podcast. I'm so used to like...
Don't jinx it.
Recording the podcast.
You're so jinxing it right
going
now.
Going to bed, waking up the next... What is this?
You're jinxing it.
I know,
because so
all we have to talk about is rumors.
Right. I mean,
so the conclusion to all these rumors will happen in the next couple of days.
Hopefully.
After the podcast.
So I guess the big story to start off with are the rumors that are going around.
All right.
We'll get to everything that happened on Raw and the announcement and Royal Rumble and stuff. Merely like a few, I want to say like maybe 12 hours after Wrestle Kingdom 10 ended in for New Japan. News kind of broke that, you know, their biggest stars are going to reportedly go to WWE or have at least handed in their notice. Now, of course, AJ Styles is among those, and he's, of course, with Ring of Honor, but he's given his notice to Ring of Honor, essentially making him, you know, can do whatever he want.
Right. And part of it is, what would they be doing if not going to WWE?
Sure. So, at least as far as, like, the rumors go, it seems like the one that is most likely to be in WWE is AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Which, you know, good on him.
Mm-hmm.
About time, I guess. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, he was going to end up there eventually.
Right.
And then, of course, other names mentioned were the tag team of Doc Gallows, formerly Festus, and formerly Luke Gallows in WWE.
Yeah, Luke Gallows.
And his tag team partner, Carl Anderson, who's, you know, I think he's been in New Japan since, like, 2008.
Yeah.
I think he's, like, 35-ish. Setting up a lot of rumors that they're coming to, specifically NXT, to be part of, you know, Balor Club.
Yeah.
You know, setting up their own version of Bullet Club in NXT.
Right.
So, that's interesting in itself, because, especially with Luke Gallows, because, I mean, Carl Anderson, you know, grass is greener, or see if the grass is greener on the other side, try something that you haven't really been given that opportunity yet. But then Luke Gallows is just like, all right, I mean, you tried this once, and we still feel like they never really gave him a fair shake.
Well, I feel like they never wanted him, I guess. I want to find
they
a nice
really
way
like
to say it, but it feels like they didn't want him. It feels
they
like
that Festus thing for a while.
Well, it feels like, well, that's the thing. Is like they have like the one idea that's 4 weeks long,
right?
That it goes for 6 weeks because they don't know when to do something. But like,
and then the moment that you know he did the Straight Edge Society thing, and that ended as soon as it ended, essentially he was gone.
Right, and it felt like because Punk always talked very highly of him.
Sure.
So I got the impression that he was like kind of handpicked by Punk to be part of this.
Right.
Straight Edge Society thing, and so they're like, because the higher-ups didn't really care that much about it,
right.
Sure, whoever you want, da-da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah, I mean...
Sure, but it still felt like, you know, he wasn't necessarily... I mean, sure, he's not as immensely talented as some of the other people in New Japan and everything,
but
I still feel like he wasn't really given
I don't think... I don't think that, you know, they're like, well, they tried it and it didn't work. Didn't totally feel like his fault. Like, it still feels like he has something to offer or something
sure.
to... So, I'm...
Yeah. And clearly something is working with the tag team between him and Carl Anderson.
Yes.
So, at least that's been my impression through, you know, the two Wrestle Kingdoms that I've seen and, like, a handful of other New Japan shows that I've watched.
Right.
So, yeah, that also seems likely. And then there is... It felt like it was the bombshell of this whole thing is that among those that gave in their notice to New Japan, one of them was Shinsuke Nakamura, who is easily at least tied for first, if not second, like top name in New Japan. I don't know if Tanahashi is basically like lol, Cena wins kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the, of course, the exception in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom 10. More on that later. Because it's like, you know, Tanahashi, Okada, and then like tied for all of that would be Nakamura. Huge face, hugely recognizable, like worldwide. He's got a very unique look. I never would have imagined him leaving New Japan anytime soon. Because it seemed like he got him, he had it made. And part of me was like, I don't really want him to come to WWE because I feel like he would get handled too much.
Yeah.
And that lightning in a bottle that he has captured in New Japan might not work with WWE management.
So, I guess the stressful way to look at this,
sure,
but the unfortunately kind of realistic way is, I don't know how much it is that, like, WWE wants these guys because there's something they can do with them, or they have a vision,
mm-hmm.
or because they're just collecting indie wrestlers now.
There's that. Plus, you also have to look at it. All four of these guys have become pretty major stars in Japan. Especially yeah. Nakamura. Nakamura is an icon in mm-hmm. Japan. This comes like the same night that they announced that the network is hitting the Japan markets.
Yeah.
I mean, that can't be any sort of coincidence.
I mean, I think that WWE definitely wants... I mean, Japan's a big, big market
sure.
for wrestling. I don't know how much they view New Japan as competition.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they should, but...
The way that it's kind of shaping up these last couple of years, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is, you know, well, we can... Because they can, by and large, any of the lower second-tier companies, they can kind of buy up all the good wrestlers
yeah.
and just stick them on a shelf. Which is what WCW was doing.
Sure, and like, honestly, like, New Japan has the funding
mm-hmm.
that they could pretty much just give Nakamura a blank check.
Yeah.
But at the point, I don't know, I can't remember exactly how old Nakamura is, but it might just be one of those things where it's like, he's got the opportunity. He's pretty much, I felt like he's kind of done everything in New Japan. He would have basically a very healthy rest of his career, making a ton of money.
Yeah.
In New Japan.
Well, and... But I could see something... And again, this is all wild speculation. Mm-hmm. But imagine somebody like him
mm-hmm.
coming to the States and coming specifically to WWE. He will get, personally, a big new audience.
Sure.
And so if he can gather that and then mm-hmm. bring it back to New Japan...
Yeah.
Or turn some eyes to Japanese wrestling.
Sure. Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah. And, you know, nothing has been confirmed. Now, something weird happened merely hours before I got here. This is Tuesday, by the way. WWE put out an article. Basically, it was like...
WWE.com put out an article.
There you go. And it was basically kind of a dirt sheet type situation where it's just like... Are these New Japan stars coming to WWE? And, like, listed specifically all four of them.
Yeah.
And, I kind of viewed it as a very non-committal way of confirming it. You know, because, of course, in the article, they're like, we reached out to Triple H, and Triple H had no comment. And I'm like, yeah, but they allowed you to put this on their website, so...
Mm. So there's a little bit of comment.
You had to have gotten approval from somebody in the know.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I can't,
like, it was on the front page. It's not even, like, an article that just kind of got buried underneath stuff.
Yeah, like, I've been kind of racking through being like, what are other reasons that this could be here?
Yeah.
Like, if they needed to, like, show, like, if they're, because obviously there's some courting going on.
Sure.
If nothing else.
Right. The day after their biggest, like, New Japan's biggest event of the year.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, we'll let you guys finish out this date because we know how important it is, and then we'll move forward after that. So, like, clearly this is something that was in the works. And again, like I said, the timing can't be any sort of coincidence.
No.
You know? Really, like, the talk of, especially the internet, on Monday should have been, oh my god, did you watch Wrestle Kingdom 10? What a great show. But instead it was, oh my god, these guys are going to WWE.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the article comes out, which kind of like rekindles everything today. Just so happens to be the same day that TNA is starting on a new network.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence? Probably not. And again, probably not a coincidence that is, you know, the news broke the same time they announced that
the network's
coming in Japan. It's one of those things where, like... I very rarely ever believe in coincidences.
Yeah.
Because, and this is... if it's a coincidence, I couldn't believe it if somebody was telling me that.
Right.
So I don't know.
I don't know. We'll find out. Okay, so here's the question.
It's greatly exciting, I will say this.
If this is true, all four guys are coming to WWE, who is the biggest wrestler then who's never wrestled in the WWE ring after this?
I mean,
because it was Sting for forever, and then as soon as Sting happened, it was pretty much AJ Styles. But now that looks like it might be.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, now that I've kind of been more exposed with New Japan and seeing how big of a deal Tanahashi is, like, he's basically New Japan Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
You know? He seems pretty huge. Doesn't have as much internet buzz as Nakamura did, you know, or still does. But that I'm kind of tempted to say him, because TNA doesn't really seem to have their main it guy that clamoring. Because most of their higher-up guys were, you know, on WWE payroll, like, maybe 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm either Tanahashi or the Young Bucks.
Young Bucks is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has Austin Aries ever, like, had any sort of brief run?
Like a
Scotty Goldman level run?
Yeah, like, or AJ Styles did, like, he had, like, a couple dark matches. And I'm tempted to say he did.
Okay. Because then it's the Young Bucks, or, you know.
Yeah. I'm tempted to see, pretty much either Young Bucks or Tanahashi.
Okay.
Yeah. I would like to see, I had to, like, in my head, I have to say it right, because for some reason I've always pronounced it Okada, but it's Okada.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, you know, the guy who's been in the main event against Tanahashi the past 2 years
right.
Wrestle Kingdom, and he's like 28, maybe 27.
So he's got a career.
He's got a career ahead of him, and man, is he good.
Yeah.
I know. I finally got you to watch a little bit of Wrestle Kingdom 9. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you haven't gotten to the main event.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to the main event yet.
But JR's on commentary, and I have never heard JR react to anyone's dropkick like I've heard him react to Okada's.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of talked it up. He's like, I heard he has, like, the best, you know, dropkick. And I talked to him yesterday, and I asked him, will I get to see the dropkick? And he was like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then it happens, and it was like, not quite to the level of Mankind getting thrown off the cage.
Uh-huh.
But it was pretty close. We were just like, okay, JR, keep it in your pants, man, because that's, okay, calm down, buddy.
All right.
And that's something, like I said, something magical about Wrestle Kingdom 9. Wrestle Kingdom 10 commentary, not so much. Because he had Matt Stryker again, and then Kevin Kelly, who's been commentating for Ring of Honor lately.
Right.
And the commentary stylings of Yoshitatsu, which was pretty much, hey, Yoshi, I want to ask you a question. Yoshi's response, silence. Yeah. Silence. That's pretty much it. And he was like, you know, clearly, you know, because I believe it was AJ Styles. He was the one, like, he put his finisher on Yoshi and broke Yoshi's neck.
Yeah.
And so during the Nakamura AJ Styles match, the guy's kind of salty, like, you know, shoot. And I'm like, I can believe that. He's probably not the best guy to have on commentary right now.
Yeah.
Just,
I mean, I'm not. Who made that call?
I don't know. I will say this. It was kind of helpful. At the very end, the winner. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, even though you probably, if you're interested, you should have watched it by now. The winner, it kind of like seems to always give a speech at the very end.
Yeah.
At least the past 2 years, and the winner is speaking, and he's speaking in Japanese, and every now and then Yoshi's like, okay, he said this. Okay, now he's saying this. Whereas last year, you know,
JR,
they kind of covered it with Matt Stryker. They're like, you don't have to speak the language to know what that man is going through. And I'm like, it would help. So yeah, it was.
Okay, so
Wrestle Kingdom 10.
You did like Wrestle Kingdom 10?
I did. It was missing that little bit of JR magic in there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But the Nakamura AJ Styles.
Well,
match.
Okay. So the big question that we always do for WrestleMania is like, does number 10 outdo number 9? Bigger, badder, better.
Personally, okay. The the major points in the past couple years with Wrestle Kingdom was the opening tag team match.
Right.
Whatever match Kenny Omega's in, whatever match Nakamura's in, and then the main event, which is typically Tanahashi and Okada.
Yeah.
The opening tag team match last year was about like a hair away from perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun match. And essentially this year is, you know, with the exception of there was one tag team in Wrestle Kingdom 9 that had a really lame name. I can't remember who it was. Well, one of the guys came out with an eye patch. They had a really dumb name. Basically, he had a Russian tag team partner.
Right, right.
A Russian tag team partner.
Because they're both communists.
Yes. The Russian tag team.
Forever something.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm blanking on them. I feel so bad about this.
The Russian guy is no longer tag team partners with the guy with the eye patch. Now it was the guy with the eye patch and Trent Beretta, formerly of WWE.
Okay.
I forgot what their team name was. They put them in. But other than that, it's pretty much all the same teams.
Forever Hooligans?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. And I don't know what the new name is. Some like weird like street in Japan that was kind of like high stylish people or whatever. Anyway, at least that's what my super weeb roommate explained to me as he watched it as well. So, with the exception of like that team, it was pretty much the same people. And it was still great. It just, I don't know.
I will say, because I texted you that after watching this.
Yeah.
You were all about Kingdom 10.
Yeah.
Everybody
on honestly, like,
which
I was kind of skeptical watching 9 for the first time. And then I saw that tag team match and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
I'm in.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, because I was like, big, like, fine. Because, yeah, I kind of felt like I had seen New Japan stuff.
Right.
It wasn't like I'm not going in completely fresh. But. And I'd seen a lot of these guys, you know, the ones that from Ring of Honor, I'd seen them there. Yeah. Or I'd seen highlight reels. So, like, I wanted to see Wrestle Kingdom 9, and I wanted to see Wrestle Kingdom 10.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as high on my list of things to do as perhaps it should have been. Because then, yeah, it's like I saw that tag team match, and I was like, well, friggin'.
Yeah.
That's how you do a tag team match.
Right.
And, like, just. And then watching, like, tag team, when they said, like, a tag team match on Raw this thing, and I was like, oh.
By the comparison, yeah. I liked. You guys are probably going to crucify me for not knowing names of everybody in New Japan, but the guy that Kenny Omega faced this year, I don't know. I was more partial to his match last year.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega, he's one of the guys that is quickly rising on my ladder of people I'm fans of.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish, because you know, he has a history with WWE. He was in the developmental and just had a bad experience, and so now he's pretty much like, I don't want anything to do with WWE. He's been in New Japan for a while,
right?
But man, seeing the stuff that he does, and he's such a good character. His facial reactions are money.
Yeah.
And he had, like, one of the most stiffest match I've ever seen against, like, an 8-year-old girl. He's that guy.
Yeah.
He's incredible. And then, you know, the AJ Styles Nakamura match was a little slow at the beginning, which I wasn't really expecting with those two.
Right.
But it really built up as the match went along. And the main event this year with Okada and Tanahashi, I thought was better than last year. Now, last year was good. I rewatched it, like, before 10 came on, and I'm just sitting there like, man, this match is a lot slower than I remember. But then by the end of it, it's built up to such a frenzy,
right,
that you just can't help but get wrapped up. And that was kind of like the same deal this year. It was pretty incredible.
Okay.
You know, and it's a welcomed change of pace from watching WWE all the time.
Right.
Like,
right,
watching a good, stiff match,
mm-hmm,
that isn't just, like, because usually the stiffest match you'll get in WWE is, like, whoever Sheamus is facing.
Right.
And we hate Sheamus, so we have to pay attention. But with this one, it's just completely different. You're seeing, like really hard shots actually connect, and it's just, you're taking it back a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's one of those things, like, watching Nakamura and knowing now the rumors and everything, it's just like, man, they're not going to let him do those kind of moves. Yeah.
Well, to know that might have been, like, kind of his swan song to the
Yeah, which is funny because it's like, you know, it's billed as a dream match, and that's kind of what it was, you know, Nakamura and AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, but I'm guessing they're probably going to have that same match here in a few months at WWE.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, the as far as, like, Nakamura, he's still the IWGP Intercontinental Champion.
Right.
They had a show, like, the next night, and there was a very nice little clip that I saw where AJ was, like, in the ring after his match, and he was saying, he was selling the injury, and then he just kind of like did a very graceful bow at the crowd. You know, clearly he's leaving. I don't know when they're going to have Nakamura drop the Intercontinental Championship. A lot of people are assuming that he's probably going to drop it to Kenny Omega.
Okay.
Which I would be okay with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we'll see. He's got some dates to that he's going to honor. So I have a feeling it might be a little while before we see Nakamura. A lot of people are saying, like, AJ Styles is probably going to be, like, a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble.
You think?
Possibly. I mean, out of all of them, he seems more likely. Nakamura, I feel like he might be... It might be towards the summer before we ever see him in WWE.
AJ Styles is the one where you can kind of point me, like, he knows the WWE style. With quotation marks around. But,
sure.
But he wrestled TNA.
Right.
Which was trying to
he's
be
more,
WWE.
He's like, more he, used to American markets. Right, American television.
So... Mm-hmm. Well, because that's the thing. It's like, how, if this is another four guys mm-hmm. going into a really crowded NXT
and
roster.
Just got a lot more. And see, the thing, I don't know if AJ is going to go to NXT.
Yeah.
He seems to maybe like be on like kind of like Samoa Joe. Like, Samoa Joe's not in NXT because he needs to be in NXT to develop or anything like that. He's in NXT because that's, I'm assuming that's where what he signed up for.
Well, he signed up for that. There's probably... So they can go ahead and when he debuts, they'll have a nice video reel to play for him.
Sure.
Of stuff that they can play.
Yeah.
The people who would watch NXT are also the people who would know who he is.
Right.
So this way his name can kind of get yeah. into the more, you
so,
know,
yeah, AJ Styles is kind of in
fan.
That same boat, you know?
Yeah.
I don't feel like there's any way Nakamura goes to NXT. I have a feeling he's going straight to the main roster.
Really?
That's in, you know... If you take into account the amount of money it probably would have taken to lure him away from New Japan,
yeah,
you might as well go ahead and just put him to the main roster. But then again, I would have thought that about Kenta.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's another thing that was a concern that I brought up when I was messaging you guys and talking to Q about this, is knowing WWE the way we know WWE,
mm-hmm.
you're kind of scared of... A, you know, putting too many hands on Nakamura's character.
Right.
Trying to Americanize him or whatever. You're scared about that, and you're scared of what that would mean for... now I can't think of his WWE name for Kenta.
Itami?
Itami, there you go.
Itami?
You don't know what that's going to mean for Itami because you're tempted to be like, WWE has maybe an unspoken, only one Asian man can be... successful at a time because they already do that with the Divas.
Yeah. Well, can you not see them like bringing him the like we finally got him. Now we can get that tag team going.
Right. Yeah. And so it's just one of the things where it's just like, man, I really hope they don't screw up either guy too much because I'm a big fan of both.
Yeah.
You know, and clearly like a lot of people are like, well, they're already highly, you know, thinking highly of Itami because you can clearly see how he was supposed to be the NXT champion when they went to Japan instead of Finn Balor.
Right.
It just kind of worked out to where Finn Balor was also huge
ready.
In Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how that was supposed to happen. And really just the injury was just a bad timing thing. But at the same time, it's just like, I don't know what that's going to mean for one of them.
Right.
You know? In an ideal world, if we were booking this ourselves and we were... running WWE, let them go. You know, they can. They're professionals. They've been in this long enough. They know what they need to do. Fine tune it to where they know exactly how to work certain cameras because they might do that different from other companies.
Right.
But aside from that, you don't really need to touch on much. You know.
Theoretically, don't like.
I mean, I can see like maybe Itami like needs like character development work.
Mm-hmm.
But Nakamura, you don't have. Maybe, like, teach him a little bit more English, maybe. I don't know. You know, his English is kind of all right. already.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as character and in ring, the guy needs absolutely nothing.
Okay.
But like I'm saying, like but the amount of money that I would assume they've invested in bringing him over,
they need to start seeing a return on that real quick.
Precisely.
In the quarter.
Yes. And
since we're a publicly traded company, they need.
But at the same time, if they're trying to push the network, maybe he does go to NXT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That so. Also makes sense. Now with you know Carl Anderson and Gallows, I see them going to NXT and just and chilling and doing whatever. Wherever Balor's at.
Yeah.
Which is completely cool with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're at NXT and they're going to tear it up down there.
Yeah, probably. That seems to have been the case in the past. All right.
Okay, so now let's move stateside.
All right.
Okay.
Talking about Raw this week.
Talking about Raw. Of course, the big news coming out of Raw is, man, they went through some referees. But after that, Vince announced that the Royal Rumble will be for the WWE Championship. The only other time that's happened was I believe the year was 1992 when Ric Flair won and he won the championship.
And that was a vacant championship?
I believe it was a vacant championship.
I thought it was. Okay, so here's did it say do we know when Roman's going into the
No, we don't.
We know he's going to be in there, but we don't know what number Roman's
That's
be.
Correct. Yeah. The only person they've announced was last week when Big Show said he was the number one.
Big Show said he was going to be the number one.
Right. And, you know, from there, they've just announced more and more participants. Chris Jericho came out this week and announced that he was going to be in it.
Yeah.
Chris
Jericho's back, by the way.
And
maybe.
Needs to wear a better-fitting vest.
So do you think Chris Jericho's actually back? Or do you think it's that same, like, house show kind of thing where, like...
Oh, he's still doing steady house shows.
But I feel like it was just kind of like, we know we're going to stick him in the Rumble, mm-hmm. but we don't want the, like, oh, surprise entrant, he might win kind of thing. So let's go ahead and just bring him on a week and announce him, and then...
Yeah.
He can do, like, a 3-week thing with New Day, and then...
Sure.
He can go back to just house shows.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking it's... Yeah, it's probably that. Like, we'll see him at the Royal Rumble, and then probably won't see him the next night or something like that, unless they want to do like a throwaway match at the end of it, like when the ECW guys came out, and then they had that really great Extreme Rules match,
right?
And then you know you didn't really see Tommy Dreamer or
Rhino went back to, I'm assuming Rhino went back to NXT.
I guess I don't know. So it's kind of a I guess we'll see kind of situation.
Yeah.
Now that being said, are there any other surprise entrants that you would like to see? Or I think someone actually did ask us that. So let me go ahead and give credit to somebody.
Is that secret mail sack?
I was going to bring it up later, but since we're already on the subject, we might as well go ahead and talk about it. But I will give credit to. No one, because your internet's not working, so
I mean, cut
my Wi-Fi off.
That's right. I don't have internet right now. Okay, so the big thing is, well, one big thing is Daniel Bryan.
Especially with the news of Nakamura getting signed. And mm-hmm. and Daniel Bryan, like, he said, I believe it was around WrestleMania season, saying that he even pitched an interpromotional match between him and Nakamura back when Nakamura was still with New Japan.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing either it was injuries or logistical stuff that, you know, they mm-hmm. weren't able to work it out.
Yeah.
But now I'm just... The fact that they might be under the same umbrella, I want to see that match.
Do you think it's possible at all that they're trying to get, like, a Nakamura-Daniel Bryan thing for WrestleMania, like, going a different route since all...
I'd be okay with that.
Since, like, all their main stars are either getting hurt or... under Baywatch contracts where they can't wrestle. And they're still trying to get that record.
Maybe. Like I said, I would love for the main event to be Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar, but if you told me that...
That wasn't happening because of a Daniel Bryan Nakamura match earlier in the card?
I would love for it to be a main event, but I know WWE, they're going to be tempted not to do it mm-hmm. on a main event. But the fact that it would be happening at all at WrestleMania,
yeah,
I would be okay with it.
I mean, that would be your show-stealing match. Like, hands down, no question.
Yeah, no, there wouldn't be any. any thought to it. Yeah, this Jay from Facebook, I'll give him the credit for a surprise entrant. He said he'd wish for CM Punk, but he thinks there's a better chance that Ultimate Warrior will come in at 30. Good joke.
The thing with Daniel Bryan is, surely they won't put Daniel Bryan in there if he's not going to win.
I would hope that they've learned that by now. That if you're going to have Daniel Bryan in the Rumble, or if you're going to have Daniel Bryan come back and not win the Royal Rumble, don't even...
Just don't do it.
Don't acknowledge him. Don't even talk about him. You know? Don't do it. Especially now that we know that Roman Reigns is going to... He has to be in the Royal Rumble because he's the champion and it's for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
That's... You would just be asking for it at that point.
Yeah.
And then I saw a couple funny things on Reddit today. It's like, we would have, like, John Cena ends up winning, and then Royal Rumble entrant number 31 is R-Truth coming out thinking that he won. He's like, oh, that's on me. That's my bad. You know? Something like that. Or have, like, it quote-unquote leak that Daniel Bryan is coming back for the Rumble, and then number 30 hits, and out comes Rey Mysterio again. At that point, we're just, okay, alright, they're acknowledging it. They know.
They know what they did.
Yeah, and they're doing it again. They're clearly messing with us. I don't know. Like, as much as I'm intrigued by the idea that of the Rumble being for the championship, you got to think that they're playing with fire, bringing Roman in back into the Rumble.
Okay, but do you think Roman is going to go the whole thing?
They're going to be so tempted to. They're going to.
I don't think so. I think this is almost a guarantee that Roman's going to lose. Just because
I want to believe that.
Because here's the thing: they want Roman to be in the championship match at WrestleMania. But they also want him to be chasing the championship.
Sure, and I'm assuming they haven't announced it. Brock Lesnar's coming back next week. I'm assuming to basically say he's going to be in the Royal Rumble.
I mean, if we do Roman and Brock again, we will boo. Sorry.
If they have a...
Like, I think Roman honestly, has improved leaps and bounds over the year. I won't even have to leave the
and
chart.
And if
like,
they have anywhere near the type of match that they had, minus the cash-in, but if, like just that match on itself without the cash-in, was incredibly fun to watch.
It really was.
So if they... I would feel better about that main event than I did before.
I'm not talking on a personal level of how I will feel about it.
Sure. You're just talking about being...
But Roman will be the heel in that match. And if you don't want Roman to be the heel, you can't set up that match.
Right. Do you think it's more likely that we'll get a Triple H Roman match instead? If he's not in the main event?
I don't know. Because we do have the weird February pay-per-view...
Which can now, they can have a number one contendership.
Yeah. I mean, and then that's the thing is like, you know, February pay-per-view was always kind of dumb because, and it was.
But now that we're setting up the champion at Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Now you can play with it a little bit.
So we always had like the championship was getting set up at Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And then the February pay-per-view was kind of okay because like, well, whatever the other belt that the champion, Rumble's winner's not going for.
Yeah.
We'll set up that feud at Elimination Chamber. But then when they combined them, it's kind of been like,
And then they changed it to Fastlane.
This pay-per-view doesn't count.
Right.
We all know what the feud's going to be. They're building to it already.
Yeah. Now, an interesting question that just popped in my head is, if Roman does not win at Rumble, which hoping, maybe, possibly not, if he doesn't, then does that mean he still gets a rematch clause?
Yeah, he should.
So that takes care of the championship match Fastlane.
I'm saying that's why you could easily have it be like, well, he lost at the Rumble, but he has a rematch clause.
Mm-hmm.
We're going into WrestleMania. I mean, he can feud with the winner of the match,
mm-hmm.
or he can feud with the whoever threw him out,
right,
and cost him the championship. The thing is, though, I do feel like he's going to be making it close to the end.
I would say it's probably 100%, like, almost a guarantee that he'll be at least in the final four.
Yeah.
If not in the final two.
Yeah. So, who do you think that other person might be?
In the final...
4-2. Who's going to, like...
Oh... Roman, I'm guessing Randy Orton's going to be a surprise entrant.
Okay.
Because it's probably about time for him to come back.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar. Then probably John Cena or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm assuming John Cena's going to be in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And same as Brock Lesnar. They haven't announced as much, but one can assume.
Any chance Seth's going to be back yet?
No.
All right.
No. I want Seth to be good and ready after
WrestleMania. Oh, I do too.
Whenever he does come back. It's one of those things where I don't think he's going to be ready for... He might be ready by WrestleMania, but I don't think he will be ready to do anything leading up to WrestleMania.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
People
are saying don't count that out, but... Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not going to... When we do our predictions...
Unless he's got magical Cena healing powers now.
When we do our predictions for the Rumble, I don't think I'm predicting Seth Rollins to be the winner.
No. So what are you thinking as far as like Final Four wise? Since I went ahead and went out on a limb on that.
Yeah. So I feel I would really be interested in Roman getting thrown out really early.
Give him the Daniel Bryan treatment?
Well, like, if he's thrown out within the first 10 or so, then we're going through two-thirds of that Rumble.
Presumably due to shenanigans.
Yeah, due to shenanigans.
Yeah.
But we're going through two-thirds of that Rumble with somebody's going to be in. We're getting a new champion at the end of this match.
Right.
It could be any one of these guys, which is a much more interesting Rumble than is Roman going to make it.
Right.
But it's very possible Roman's going to go through everything.
And they're in Orlando this year.
Yeah.
I believe that. I don't know that I don't think it makes as much of a big deal as it was in Philly last year.
I think it's very possible.
It doesn't really matter because you're going to basically get the same crowd regardless because, you know, it's that same group of smarks.
Yeah.
Mostly.
It's been long enough that it's about time for Triple H to be making a screen appearance. And if he's coming back,
he's going to come back for Roman because Roman, you know.
But you can have him come back and enter the Rumble not to win it, but to
take
Roman out of it.
And do the the Mick Foley spot where you kind of run at the guy at the top rope and both of you guys go over.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just make it clear that he's – and, you know, you can do it in a promo, but he's going to take Roman out. That's his goal here.
Yeah.
And then it would be really nice if you could, like, kind of – focus on that feud of you cost me, and now it's this a Roman versus Triple H match, which is a perfectly fine WrestleMania.
Sure,
match.
Yeah.
And
it keeps Roman away from the championships scene.
It does.
And it gives and that makes the chances a little bit better for the desired fan reaction for whoever wins.
Exactly. That's the thing, is like I'm personally a lot more okay with the idea of Roman winning the Rumble this year and main eventing WrestleMania this year than I was last year.
Sure.
But that's me and my personal thoughts on the thing.
Right.
I don't think that aligns exactly with how the smart crowds of the Rumble and the Mania are going to react to that. So I wouldn't risk it if I were WWE.
Right.
I would give them a really nice, high-profile, co-main event kind of feud.
Sure. So... at this point, are you kind of like me, where it kind of feels like it's more of a setup for Brock winning?
Yeah, but who's Brock going to face? Bryan?
That's the hope.
That's the interesting one to
me. Either that or...
like, Brock and Rock is interesting. I would not mind seeing a Brock and Rock.
There's a possibility
feud.
Of that. We don't know if WWE's footed the bill for the...
Right, but I don't want the title to be in the Brock and Rock match.
Sure.
It
doesn't need it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So if Brock has the title, Daniel Bryan's the only, like, really interesting thing that I haven't seen yet. I was like, I'd like to see these guys go at it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Which is fine. Like, if you want to do that, have Brock win the title, and then have Bryan come back fast lane or into WrestleMania. You know?
Probably do some sort of open tournament kind of thing. And
For the number one contender.
Yeah.
Do that at fast lane. Have Bryan be a surprise entrant in that.
Sure.
So, oh, you didn't know, you should have the network, because all the pay-per-views are important, we promise.
No, you didn't know. Your ass better call somebody. Get it right, Joel.
I don't think they're allowed to come back anymore.
Half of them are. Billy Gunn, not so much.
Yeah.
That secret bodybuilder.
So.
That was a weird story, wasn't it?
Weird story.
I don't know if we ever talked about it here on the podcast, but homeboy tested positive for some sort of banned substance. That he was, and he's a trainer, but he did it because he was
in powerlifting competition.
A powerlifting contest. That was not bodybuilding. Yeah, he's like in secret powerlifting. First of all, I mean, I know Billy Gunn isn't like an insanely popular character, but how can you do that in secret? Because like he wasn't telling anyone.
Here's the thing, like the way the story broke, it was like these underground powerlifting rings.
Yeah. He's just like, okay, all right. Why is it underground? Like, why is this a big secret? I don't know. I just thought it was weird.
I'm just saying, he lucked out with Hogan getting the more high profile. We got to get him out of this company.
That didn't happen at the same time, did it?
No, but it happened in the same year.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, so everyone's gonna concentrate more on.
So when you sit back and be like, "Gow, what was the crazy thing that happened to get somebody to fire from WWE this year?"
Yeah. Yeah. Now Hogan wins that one by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
Still doesn't make Billy Gunn's situation that much more weird.
Or less weird. Charlotte also, I guess, officially finally turned heel.
I guess
this week. Making Becky Lynch the only face diva, I think.
Yeah.
Natty, maybe.
Natty, yeah.
Whenever Natty shows up.
Sure. I don't know. Like, I think it's kind of safe to assume Sasha Banks is kind of in tweener status. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm assuming they're going to lead to a championship match between her and Becky, which is fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just not crazy about that what they're doing with Charlotte right now, or what they've been doing with Charlotte.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah. Or with the Divas Revolution, like I said, winner of the Sin Cara Award.
Yeah. Remember when we had like two Divas matches a night?
Yeah.
God, we thought such good things were coming.
Yeah. Now I will say this. One thing I am, and this is a tangent, not at all about women's wrestling. But you know what I'm feeling right now?
What?
I'm really feeling this feud between Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose.
Yeah?
It's not necessarily like thought provoking.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
It's just
like
two guys that are just really aggressive with each other right now.
I mean, I'm happy to see him fight because I like both of them.
Right, and I'm glad to see like Ambrose getting something he can kind of sink his teeth into.
Yeah.
Finally. And I'm glad that they're keeping Owens, like, you know, sure, he's not winning all the time, but when he loses, he still looks like he's going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And he goes out and kills somebody.
And also, we are calling that new faction Team Jobber, right?
I believe they're calling them Social Outcasts or something like that.
Team Jobber, right?
Sure, yeah.
Like, I don't care what they're calling them.
How long will it be before WWE lets that fizzle and just completely?
What is the point of that? Like,
I don't know.
What? Who got that by somebody? Who set all that up? Who's like, I have a vision for these four guys, and how did nobody in that whole little?
And how stable crazy is WWE these days?
And I think we need to point out that when they were like, we have the four biggest jobbers in the company, and they have to get a win tonight, who can we have them beat?
Right? And I bet you JTG and Yoshitatsu was like, now they go in with that idea? It could have been on Raw like for a couple weeks before they forgot about it and stopped writing segments for it.
And also, they have this whole like promo of we're here in a faction now, and nobody like said, we're the team that gets the job done, like while winking at the camera.
Well, that would have happened if they had Zack Ryder on. Zack Ryder would have gladly put that. But yeah, like, it's kind of weird. Like, how do you have a job squad without Zack Ryder and without Damian Sandow?
I don't know about Damian Sandow. Like, Zack Ryder's a face.
Well, so again, and Sandow kind of went face whenever he, you know, dropped the Mizdow gimmick.
Yeah.
It picked up the Macho Man gimmick. And now we just don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what he's doing.
But I'm guessing it's a heel jobber squad or
you know
job
what?
Squad or whatever.
I'm not having to watch that stupid Rosebud segment again.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Nope, I don't want. Nope. Mm. The dirt is always in bloom thing. No,
which makes no sense.
I know it makes no sense.
Horticulturalists are
it was
just
terrible.
Just stimming
it
with
was
anger.
The abs. No.
Come on.
No.
Come on. It made you stop mid-sentence.
Worst joke of the year.
Get out of here.
Pack it all up.
No,
worst joke of the year.
Worst
so
joke
far.
Of the year. I believe that you just topped it.
Nope. That's a good joke.
Nope. It's really not. It gets older and older every year. Another name for them. Since, you know, I'm guessing they're doing all these factions now. Assuming, I'm not trying to do the pun again, stemming from New Day and their success.
Right.
So you could call them the Stale Day.
Oh.
It's new. It's
no,
new.
I get it.
Old Day wouldn't make sense because they're not that old.
No. Old Day is Team ECW.
How did we miss that? How did we completely whiff on that?
Okay, even worse, how did New Day miss that?
Right? Oh. Or they could at least done that with Jericho last night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, I love Jericho. That promo felt a little bit like, hey, guys, I'm hip with today culture, too.
Yep.
Huh? Calling them trap queens?
Yep. Jericho's getting a little, what's up, my fellow kids?
Racist and homophobic a little bit.
Remember when we were cool and had attitude?
Yeah, like, look at me. I'm wearing a vest and a shirt underneath it. I'm crazy.
Jericho's giving off a dad vibe.
I mean, he is a father.
I'm aware.
But he's still out. Yeah.
But it's a vibe. It's like when Tommy Dreamer came out, and he's like, ooh, that looks like a dad.
But then again, Tommy Dreamer didn't come out trying to, you know,
no.
throw out today's lingo, so.
No.
At least he's, you know, facing it with some sort of dignity in a bald spot. Chris Jericho, he's just another flock of seagulls hairdo, and he'll just keep doing it because he thinks that's what the kids want. But no one has the heart to tell him that Fozzie's awful.
Look at my scarf.
Look at my scarf, kids. You guys.
It's the coolest.
Ugh.
All right, anything else happened on Raw this week?
I'm sure. But I can't. Nothing that I really want to
talk had about. Vince McMahon get arrested replay three
Again.
Times.
Yeah.
So that took up a good hour of the show.
I'm so tired of looking at his mugshot.
Here's the thing.
It was funny, like, when they first showed it, I was like, that was funny. And then, no, after they kept showing it and replaying it, no.
When they do the, we're gonna take a quick replay here, and then, like, they start the replay, and you're like, that's really early in this storyline.
Yeah.
This is gonna be one of them long replays.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're not even doing a recap. It's like the whole thing. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
They're going to go through this whole thing.
Yeah. It's like the Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns feud from, you know, the later part of the year. When they're just like, they go back to the Money in the Bank moment. You're like, and you see in the text underneath it, 4 months ago. I'm like, freaking really?
This is going to be a long replay.
Or you'll hear Michael Cole, remember guys, this all started when, okay, well, no, we shut up. I know, it's not Michael Cole's fault, it's the voice in
the voice is in his head.
Randy Orton.
So.
Orange bastard.
Alright, so we are 3 weeks away from the Rumble?
Somewhere around there.
Alright.
January 20-something. I know that much.
It's almost time to start pointing at signs.
We are very close to sign pointing.
Alright. What's making you happy?
What is making me happy? Well, I mean, Wrestle Kingdom 10... a lot of fun. I don't know. The holidays are kind of over, so that's kind of a bummer. And it's like one of those things where, like, every week I had something to point to and be like, it's almost Christmas. It's almost New Year's. I'm moving to a new place, and now everything's kind of settled. And now I just don't know what to be happy about anymore.
Well, that's really sad, Chris. Way to take the segment and do the exact opposite of what you're supposed to
it's
do.
It's just one of the things where, like, over the process of me talking, I realized that I didn't think of anything ahead of time. I'm doing something New Year's resolution-y, which I never do because I have no motivation to do anything, so why even kid myself? But no, this year, I'm gonna basically be writing something every day. For some reason, I don't want to call it a journal, but then again, I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah.
And it's just gonna be like, you know, whatever I feel like talking about that day, I'm gonna just write it all out, and then at the end of the year, I have the intention of, you know, since we do that now, you know, putting it out, letting people read it. And it's also a way to kind of keep me in a workout schedule, mm-hmm. because that's been one of my biggest things. Like, I need to work out because I felt best about myself when I was constantly working out, like a couple years ago. And then, of course, stuff happens, depression set in, and so that just kind of went by the wayside. I would pick it up for like a couple days or something, and then it would just go back out. So this is a way where I'm going to talk about that in the journal, non-journal thing. And knowing that somebody is going to eventually read it, that would make me, like, I don't want to let these people down that haven't even read it yet but are going to. So that kind of puts, you know, me in a position where I can hold myself accountable mm-hmm. a little bit more. This is, you know, it's a way for me to relieve myself of anything that's worrying me. You know, that's how I write it out. That's how I get rid of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like for me, this is the best way of getting rid of depression and get rid of depression weight.
Okay.
So that's kind of my plan. I am, what is today, the 5th, 6th?
6.
5 days into it, I'm already feeling emotionally a lot better. Physically, I still got some ways to go, but it's still very early and I'm keeping to it.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's my positive thing. And if anyone feels like they're in a similar boat and you're interested in stuff like this, I say go for it because, like I say, emotionally I feel way much better than I did at the end of the year, you know?
Way much better.
I'm a writer, not a speaker, which is funny because I've been doing a podcast for 4 years. Get off me. What's making you happy, Joel? Yeah, perfect speaker.
To piggyback off of yours, it's 5 days into the new year.
Yeah.
I am the complete opposite of you. I adore setting goals. Setting goals are so much fun.
See,
like getting up and doing it. No, that's the worst.
Sure, absolutely. That's where there it is. I make goals, but never follow through with it.
But yeah, the whole like this year I'm gonna da 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 da, and this month I'm gonna da 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 da.
Sure.
And like, oh, here's a, you know, we could do it this way, and
right.
I'm gonna visit this many places in this many days.
And see, that's where it kind of changed for me, because I would set goals for myself, not really tell anyone or mm-hmm. anything, and I would never do it. But then when we started doing stuff for Relevant But Awesome, and the two of us would be like, okay, this month we need to get this done, I was more likely to do it because there's somebody else in it with me that knows about it, and they're like, okay, Joel is going to think you're a real piece of crap if you don't do this, or, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. So, like, I set way too many, especially, like, because, you know, I enjoy setting the goals and doing that kind of thing. And then New Year's comes, and it's like, here's this tailor-made excuse.
Sure.
Set lots of goals.
Yeah.
And it's not goals from, like, this week I have to do something. It's like, I have to do this sometime this year. It's so easy to set New Year's resolutions. I love doing it.
Yeah.
So I have lots of them.
Uh-huh.
I know I'm not going to get through all of them, but as of 5 days into the year, I'm not behind on anything yet.
Good job, buddy.
So that's making me happy.
Cool. And again, like, to throw in all of that, something that we did last year that, for me, fell by the wayside, was our million words
mm-hmm.
for the year.
Yeah.
We're doing that again this year. But this time, I feel much more compelled to actually follow through with it. I think by the time we got to July, I started, like, not really caring about the word count or anything, not keeping track of it.
Right.
But then you set up a really nifty spreadsheet.
Yeah, man.
That just does all the work for me, and I just have to put the number totals in there.
Yeah, man.
So, good job. Now I'm more inclined to do it.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classicringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You can click subscribe, get new episodes every week. Maybe if you're feeling so inclined, give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or maybe write a review. All that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See kind of what else we're doing. Also follow the podcast. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.
Hello, up.